you know, the more and more I started getting overseas, being overseas, and, you know, I couldn't stop checking those NBA blogs to see who got picked up. And I was like, man, that should be me. So I remember calling Coach Romar and he's like, man, the time is now. You know, I'm ready to, you know, transition into the other side.
That was Washington assistant men's basketball coach Will Conroy. He was a standout at Garfield and UW and a professional before returning to his alma mater as an assistant coach. He's today's guest.
Welcome to Dan Dickow's Quarantine Series on the Scorebook Live Today podcast. As the world, particularly the world of sports, is shut down due to the coronavirus, we're ramping things up a notch here at Scorebook Live. Every weekday, Dan interviews an expert in the world of sports, from star hoopers and coaches like Steve Kerr, Jamal Crawford, and Doug Christie, to seven-time Mr. Olympia bodybuilder Phil Heath. We hope you're entertained and maybe learn a thing or two as we navigate these uncertain times. The easiest way to tune in is by subscribing. In addition to our weekly Washington High School Sports News and Conversation podcast released Thursdays, hosted by myself, Andy Bueller, fellow reporter Todd Millis, Dan is bringing you interviews just like this one delivered 5 days a week. Head to wherever you get your podcast, subscribe for free, and while you're there, leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Before we get to Dan's interview today, a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. Now, Dan Dickow.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, continuing with our quarantine series where we have a guest in the world of sports, many times connected to the state of Washington, whether it's high school, collegiate level, or professionally. We try to bring you somebody with some experience, and it could be an athlete, a coach, a front office executive. Today, he was an athlete, now he's a coach, none other than Will Conroy, graduated from Garfield in 01. Had a tremendous career for the Huskies at UW, where he was their all-time assist leader. And he's currently on the bench with Coach Mike Hopkins, guiding the resurgence of the Husky program. So, Will, appreciate you joining us. How's everything in the Seattle area these days?
Considering, man, everything, you know, my family is safe and sound, so I can't complain. Just ready to get back to work and back into the building and you know, start coaching again.
Start coaching again is right. And I've seen you obviously as a player, and I've seen you over the last couple of years as a coach. And one of the things that I've been most impressed with as I watch you coaching in my broadcasting career is the passion and the energy alongside the knowledge, obviously, that you have to have at the college level. But you really pour into those kids at UW, and it's something that you can tell the players trust you. They look to you for your guidance and your opinion.
You know, it was crazy. That's crazy that you asked me that. I remember, you know, being a player and folks would always say, man, you're going to be a great coach one day. And as a player, it's like, you don't want to hear that because you're still trying to chase your dreams. And you got, I want to hear people say, man, you're going to be a great NBA player one day. But I would always hear you're going to be a great coach one day. And it bothered me then. But as I started getting older, you know, and I was like, man, I would start putting together these workouts in with the top high school players, top college players, and top NBA players, and they would all come. We would go, and top overseas guys, and we would go, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays in the city, and it just started becoming a passion, you know, and you know, Coach Dollar at Seattle U was sending his top guys over there, and you know, Coach Romar was sending his top guys. And whoever was in town, like pros that were in town, they would hear about it, and we'd invite them in, and it just started becoming a passion. and I started loving to do it. And you know, Spencer Halls, and I would start doing it. You know, I was just doing it for free because I love to do it. And it kind of helped with my shift. And then obviously I never wanted to be, you know, it was a blessing to make money and play overseas, but that wasn't my goal. I was always a goal-driven person. Money was never a reason why I played ball, and I wanted to play at the highest level, which was NBA. So, you know, the more and more I started getting overseas, being overseas, and, you know, I couldn't stop checking those NBA blogs and see who got picked up. And I was like, man, that should be me. So I remember calling Coach Romar and just be like, man, the time is now. You know, I'm ready to, you know, transition into the other side.
Yeah, that overseas grind for somebody who's never been around it or through it is much more difficult than people would expect. Everybody says they want to do it, but it's another thing to go through it, whether as an athlete or whether as it's with your family. It's difficult for sure. And you've made that successful transition to coaching, which has been awesome to see because I'm a Northwest guy. I always pull for guys from the Seattle area, the Spokane area, Vancouver, where I'm from, Portland. And it's great to see the success of so many guys. But in particular, I want to talk about Seattle because you mentioned so many different names. You mentioned putting together workouts, open gyms with these guys. Seattle is, if you look at it, one of the basketball hotbeds in the country. And you being in the middle of it for so long, what makes guys from the area so good and so prepared to have a successful college career, and then if they're good enough, to be really good at the pro level?
I think a big reason is the guys who are currently pros, they're accessible. They're always back in the community. They're always working out with the youngsters, and it makes it realistic for them. You know, it makes it realistic that, man, this dude was just walking the same hallways I was walking. You know, you look at, you know, just more recently, you look at DeJounte Murray. He was a senior and Kevin Porter was a freshman. Okay, so DeJounte comes and does 1 year at with the University of Washington and goes straight pro. And Kevin Porter's like, whoa, we were just in class together. And now DeJounte's back playing with Kevin Porter back at Rainier Beach in the open runs. And Kevin Porter may get a bucket or two. So he starts believing. And he starts saying, man, well, maybe my path can be like his because I'm just as talented. So, you know, when we have that, and one of the main guys who started that is Jamal Crawford. I think the fact that he would come home every summer and either he'd play pickup with us at UW or he'd be in the community centers, you know, he made it believable for all the guys like Aaron Brooks, myself, Brandon Roy, Rodney Stuckey, all the guys that just came after him because we can reach out and touch him or call him or, you know, count on him. So that I think that is a big reason why we haven't so many players having success go to the next level.
Well, it's absolutely a supportive environment, but there's also some pretty good rivalries. One of your good friends, one of Jamal Crawford's good friends, David King, an assistant coach at Rainier Beach, was on our podcast recently, and I asked him about the Beach-Garfield rivalry because I know you guys have a lot of back and forth. Give me your take on that. Who's the better program, and how much do you support Beach when Garfield's not playing? Beach.
Well, it's interesting because I did my first 2 years of high school at Rainier Beach. So I won a state championship at Rainier Beach. And then, you know, everybody in my family went to Garfield. But the area that we lived in at the time was the Rainier Beach district. So my first 2 years, I ended up going to Rainier Beach and winning the state championship. So I got a lot of love for Rainier Beach. I got a lot of love for Mike Bethea. I think Mike Bethea and Dave King have the toughest job in the Metro League as far as, you know, some of the walks of life that they deal with and lives that they have to change on a day-to-day basis. It's not easy. You know, I've been to those halls and I've seen the kind of the kids that they have to reform. As far as programs, you know, Mike Bethea and Dave and those guys have done an unbelievable job of building that thing up. You know, Garfield for so long has been out in front as far as, you know, the premier program. But when you go nationally now and you speak about, you know, Seattle basketball, everyone brings up Rainier Beach because of all the success they've had. But I think Brandon Roy is putting Garfield back on the map as far as that goes. I think, you know, he's got, what is that, 3 state championships and 4 years of coaching or something like that. So I think he's well on his way. I think he's 3 for 3. So he's well on his way of, you know, building Garfield back up into that that powerhouse that it's known to be.
Well, and people want to play for success. And when you're in a program, whether it's a youth program that feeds into Garfield and you've seen the success before, you want to uphold that tradition. And Brandon, we were teammates in the NBA. He's a phenomenal guy. He's very driven to help the youth in the Seattle from what I've seen and what I've heard. And so it's fun to watch the trajectory of that program in addition to Beach, as you mentioned. But I want to jump back to your path as a coach. And you said that kind of when you were towards the end of your playing career and you felt like coaching was a path, you reached out to Lorenzo Romar, who I've got tremendous respect for. Not a lot of people know this, and Will, you might not know this as well, but in high school, he was a head coach at Pepperdine. And that was one of my three final schools. And I almost went to Pepperdine because of Coach Romar.
Oh, wow.
End up going to UW. Things don't work out great. The two schools that I sent a release to reach out to was Gonzaga and St. Louis. And the head coach at that time was Lorenzo Romar because of the relationship that we had developed in the recruiting process. So I talked to Lorenzo. I say, Lorenzo, I'm transferring. It wasn't the right spot for me. He said, wow. I said, the two schools I reached out to, Gonzaga and St. Louis. He goes, when are you going to Gonzaga for a visit? I said, I'm going this weekend. He goes, do this. I tell you what, you're going to take your recruiting visit to Gonzaga. I guarantee you it's the perfect fit. You're going to commit on the spot. If you don't, give me a call Monday. I want you to come out the following weekend to St. Louis because I think you'd be a great fit at St. Louis as well. Lo and behold, I went to Gonzaga. Things out worked out extremely well for me. He had a nice run at St. Louis, got back to UW. Which is where he graduated and put together a tremendous run there. So that's my little bit of the respect and the admiration I have for Coach Romar. But you were done with your career, and you said, Coach, what's the next step? I want to coach. How did that come about, and what was his reaction and support to you?
Well, he always, because he's such a gym rat, I mean, if anybody knows Coach Romar, you know, he'll stay in the gym all day and talk basketball. Like, he is a straight basketball dude. There's nothing else. With Coach Rose, it's his spirituality and his hoop. so when we would talk all the time in the summertime when I would be home, and I'd be like, yeah, Coach, I'm starting to get the bug to coach. He would always tell me, you know, when the time is right, you'll know. He'd say, play basketball as long as possible, because when you stop, you can't go back to playing. When you're done, you're done. And I would, and you know, when you hear that, you just be like, okay, like, I know I want to coach, but when I finally said it the last time, he was like, it was a little different. He was like, you sound more serious about it. He was like, when you come home, let's talk. And unfortunately, I hadn't finished. I had like maybe like 16 credits left of school because I had left early to do all those NBA workouts. I had like 17, 18 NBA workouts, so it was kind of impossible to continue class. So he was like, you got to finish school. And then when you finish school, we'll put you on the staff in December. But what happened was, the AD at the time, Scott Woodward, when it was brought up to him that, you know, that it was a chance for me to join the staff, he was for it. So, they hired me. I finished school that year, that I finished school by like November. But I was able to coach, and from there, it's been great. But like you said, he's an unbelievable man. He's never missed one of our weddings, childbirths. And this is me personally, and I know he's done this for everybody else that was on our team. You know, because they've all been like, man, well, I remember my daughter was born, and I went home to feed the dog and get the dog, you know, taken care of. And then I come back to the hospital. It's maybe like, I was probably gone for like an hour. And my wife was like, Coach Romar just left, him and his wife. I was like, dang, like, how does he know this stuff? So that dude is just unbelievable. He's an unbelievable mentor. Everybody you hear talk about him has the utmost respect for him because he does things the right way. He doesn't cut corners. He's what you would want, you know, your child, your son to grow up and be like. So, you know, I try to model, you know, some of the things, my beliefs, how he did, you know, he's had a lot of success in that way, and he's got a lot of respect. So you try to follow those kind of people's footsteps.
Well, he's a tremendous role model and mentor, I'm sure, for anybody who's been on a staff with him while he's in charge. Unfortunately, a couple of years in, he was let go by University of Washington. Mm-hmm. He's now doing a tremendous job turning around the Pepperdine program. But Coach Mike Hopkins comes in from Syracuse. You were able to stay on staff and start to build a new trajectory and a new vision for the UW basketball program. You guys have done a really nice job. What are some of the strengths of Coach Hopkins in your eyes as you see him building the Husky back program back into national prominence?
I think Coach Hopkins is one of his biggest gifts is he is passionate, he cares, he's authentic, and when you have all of those traits, it's so easy to get behind and follow and want to play hard for. And I think he's, and it's real, you know, it comes from a real place. I think he's got a pure heart. I mean, the guy would take his coat off, you know, for you or give you his last if he had to. And I think the kids can see that and they can feel that. And, you know, he's waited his turn and he was very loyal to a program for 20 something years. And you know, I'm sure he had plenty of job offers when he stayed loyal, you know, and he was going to take that program over. And he just felt the time was right. And we're so grateful to have him here in Seattle. And he's done an unbelievable job in his first, you know, 3 years of coaching here. You know, first year we took a 10-win team and went to the NIT. I think we won 21 games. And then the next year we won the conference with 2 or 3 weeks left. You know, this year was a tough year for us because we were really, really young. And we learned a lot this year. I mean, we lost one of our better players, which happened to be the quarterback of our team, Quade Green. And we were forced to, you know, learn on the fly, not really having a point guard, you know, that Coach Hop, you know, had in the fold the whole year. But we learned our lesson and we took notes and now we're prepared to, you know, go back at this thing again. But he's been unbelievable. He's just how open he is to learning, how open he is to communicate with the community and learn the community, learn AAU programs around here. You know, he's just a fresh breath of fresh air, and I think Husky fans have grown to love him.
You know, two of the words that you used to describe him were passion and a pure heart. And yeah, I've talked to him on a few occasions with the broadcasting work that I do. And passion absolutely fits him to a T. I mean, he coaches, he's seems like he's an extension of what's going on the court because he's into it. Where a lot of times you'll see some coaches kind of have a laid back attitude towards themselves during a game, but you could tell he's intense, he's passionate, he's fired up, and he's supporting of his guys with good calls, bad calls, plays, whatever it may be. But you also mentioned the fact that, you know, he waited his turn at Syracuse under Jim Boeheim. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine a young coach like yourself, you're at your alma mater, you love where you're at, but there's also a part of any competitor that wants to be a head coach at any point or at some mm-hmm. point when they're ready. Mm-hmm. Have you given that thought as to what your career path goals are? And not saying you're trying to fast forward it in any way because you're in a great spot, I would imagine, at UW, but have you given that much thought about career aspirations?
Of course. I mean, I think a lot of people around me, you know, they think about it more than I do, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I hear it a lot, man, are you ready? Or man, you about to be a head coach soon. I don't really, it's not really at the forefront of the things that I think about on a day-to-day basis. You know, I got a 5-year-old daughter, she's getting ready to turn 6. And I have a 9-year-old son, and I'm kind of—I won't say complacent, but I'm kind of steady at watching those guys grow up and keeping them in a solid foundation that I'm comfortable with. And then me personal-wise, I want to see my school. You know, I want to take my school to a Final Four. You know, and that's a big thing for me. And then you know, once we can accomplish that, then I'll sit down and I'll reassess everything. But you know, I've always said when the big man up top is ready for you to have it, you know, he'll put you in that right position. So I'm not really a a guy who's trying to force or looking around. Like, I don't, you know, I don't call my agent and ask him for look for jobs and stuff like that. I've never done that. I just feel like when his time is right, it'll happen. It'll happen organically.
It's a great way to look at it. And there's a couple other coaches in the college level in your same career phase that have said the exact same thing. You'll know when it's time. And you know, it would be tough, I'm sure, in your position, in your shoes, it'd be tough to leave UW because of the history that you have and the connection to the program and the community. And the community is so important to you. You've got two young kids, a lot of your really close friends, both in basketball as well as I can imagine off the court or in the Seattle community and area. And obviously we know there's been a lot of disappointing things going on around our country over the last couple weeks. And you've had a chance to kind of be at the forefront of what was called a community conversation in the Renton area. Not a lot of athletes or people in a place of position are willing to step out and share things from the heart. But I've had a number of people that have reached out and said, hey, we'll put this together. Jamal, Brandon, Isaiah Thomas, Coach Hopkins, a couple other guys there were there. And it was a really good event and an opportunity for people to just kind of share experiences and try to help people get on the same page. Where did that come from and how did you do that?
It came, you know, obviously we all seen the tragic events that happened 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it kind of springboarded off that, unfortunately. But I felt like it was very important for the kids in our community to hear our voices at a time of crisis. I feel like, you know, we're always there when they triumph in their sports. You know, they always see us then. But they needed to see us when they need us the most, and this is right now. And I felt like even with COVID, you know, there's COVID-19 going on, and, you know, a lot of parents are losing jobs, and, you know, it's just a lot of hardship going on right now. And they need to know that we're with them. So, you know, I brought the idea up to Jamal and Alvin Snow and Isaiah, and I said, man, we need to do something. We need to do something now. And they were all for it. It was just about, you know, trying to abide by the governor's guidelines with this COVID thing and finding a venue that would host it. We had a couple places that we wanted to, that I figured out, you know, we wanted to do it, but, you know, there was some pushback, like, because there was some violence going on in the city, and I didn't want my thing, the forum to be a protest. I wanted to be a rally. I wanted to be an open discussion. I wanted our youth to be able to hear and see some of their favorite athletes or entertainers or local community activists and know that we were going through the same thing they were going through, but also know that we're here for them. And you know, I think the biggest message was we have to learn how to educate, you know, the next generation so they become young leaders of this next world, this next generation. And they needed to hear is, you know, we're all say the same thing, but if you hear it from Zach LaVine or you hear it from, you know, Breonna Stewart or Jewel Lloyd, it may ring a little bit different, you know, rather than hearing it from your mom. So, you know, I was able to reach out to a few connections that I knew, resources that I had, and everyone was on board right away. And we tried to keep it private because I really didn't want, you know, some of the, you know, the violent protests or the radicals to attend. So, you know, it kind of came off, you know, afterwards. In hindsight, I look back at it, you know, and I had some, you know, people who were upset that, you know, they didn't hear about it till afterwards. And I apologize for that. But the reason for that was I just didn't want, you know, I wanted to keep violence away from the youth. I wanted them to know that, you know, we can fight this battle with our brain and not without throwing bricks through windows and stuff like that. And know that, you know, their local athletes and their local people that they admire are going through the same thing they're going through, and they're here with them. So that was kind of the whole goal of it. It was successful. We probably had about 350, 400 people out there. We gave out masks and we gave out hand sanitizers. So it was a success, and I think it really helped inspire the youth to hear it. from those voices.
Tremendous. And I commend you for that. I think that from what I had seen and heard online in different sources is exactly what you intended it to do as it did. And thank you for doing that, obviously, for the community. Well, last question before I let you go, and it's a little bit of a loaded question. Scorebook Live, Washington, we released we put together a poll, a voting poll through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on our online platform for our fans to vote for the best high school basketball player since the year 2000. We had some omissions here and there. We made some mistakes in overlooking some guys. Isaiah Thomas ended up winning through a fan vote. But the question I want to ask to you is, who is the best player ever from the state of Washington? Because there are so many good guys and there's so many different ways that you can take it. But I know you've seen a lot of them up close in person. It's a tough question, but I'm putting you on the spot.
I think the most talented player that's ever played here is Jamal Crawford by far. I think long-term zero weaknesses in his game. I think you would have to go Brandon Roy. Man, but then, you know, Michael Porter came here for 1 year, and I'd never seen nothing like that. So that was pretty crazy. So I would say, you know, that's hard, man. That's very hard. It's very hard because, you know, Doug Wren was unbelievable in high school as well. But I would probably say, you know, I would probably – guys who played high school 3 years here, more than just one, so that would exclude Michael Porter. I would probably say – I'd probably give it to Jamal or Brandon Roy, one of those guys.
No, you can't go wrong with either one, that's for sure. Yeah. Jamal is as talented as there's ever been. Brandon, like I said, I was teammates with him in the NBA. Had he not had some injuries, he would have been a 12-time All-Star.
Easily.
That he was that good. Will, we appreciate you sitting down and having a conversation with our quarantine series. Wish you and your family nothing but the best of health getting through the finishing stages of COVID-19, which is hopefully going to we're going to get past this soon. And I wish you and the Washington Huskies nothing but the best.
Thank you, Dan. Seasons. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care.
You too.